Welcome to Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring the intersection between faith and business, and we view leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. My name is David Stark. My partner in crime, Justin Royer, is here today. And we're actually in the middle of a people series, but before I talk about that, here's how you can connect to us. You can connect to us at davidstarkcollective.com. All of our podcasts are there. You can also get us on Twitter at Stark Collective or on iTunes. If you look under Working with Purpose, everything we do is there. We live and breathe on those great reviews. So please give us great reviews on there. So that's how you can get a hold of us. But we're right now in the middle of what we call the People Series. During the year, Justin and I, typically during the fall, winter stuff, we get we wax prophetic about all different issues and topics. But we actually get real in the People Series, where we bring people in who are doing it on the ground and hear their stories, and we love doing this, and we're actually going to probably do a hybrid in the fall. But Greg Hoyt's with us today. Greg has actually been a friend for a long time. He is the CEO both of Dogwood and Rustica Bakery, and we're going to hear about him. He and I met when I first came to Minneapolis. I had no idea the royal family I was being invited into then. I was at Christ Presbyterian as an associate pastor, and a guy named Jeff Michelle, who later became a senator, wanted to start a Bible study. So down on the 23rd floor of the Fauché Tower, that's got to have been 92, 93, somewhere near.
Mid-90s.
Yeah. But anyway, I go down there, and it turns out that Jeff's good friends are all part of the Negley family, and so Negley III was there, and one of the brother-in-laws is Greg, and another one of the brother-in-laws, shout out to John today, was there, John Trouts, and others. And it was a great Bible study to be part of. And Jeff actually became a Christian in that Bible study. That was really wonderful. But anyway, Greg, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your organization.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dave. And I, too, had just moved to the Twin Cities right around the time when we started. I got married in 1993, moved here from San Diego, where I went to college. So almost 24 years that I've been married, moved here in May of 93, lived in the basement of the house of Jill and John Trout. So talk about interconnected.
Yes.
And I actually, the job that I got a couple months after I moved here was with a very small and rapidly growing coffee business called Caribou Coffee. Mm-hmm. And I was there where I met John and Kim Puckett, and worked in the stores, managed a number of stores, and learned. It was when I kind of had my first taste of what a mentor and what a learning relationship could be with John. And then, of course, I got introduced to the coffee industry directly. Mm-hmm. Worked for Caribou for a few years, and really got I really was led to continue to pursue the coffee industry, but as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Before I started my first coffee business in 2000, I made a stop along the way and helped my father-in-law Bob Negley Jr. when he was awarded the hockey team in 97 and worked there for a couple of years. They needed a guy who could get a fax machine and find an office space, and I was that guy.
Yep.
And then it was after that I started a coffee business in 2000, and I've been going at that way for the last 17 years.
You bet. And that was Dogwood.
That was another coffee business called Bull Run Roasting, which I started in 2000. I sold it in 2010 to start Dogwood.
I got it.
And I did that. I started Dogwood with a partner in 2010, and my partner Dan and I operate it now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Let's go back in the journey just a little bit. I love the care. You filled in a bunch of pieces that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
The coffee business there. But let's talk about kind of your journey out of Bull Run.
Mm-hmm.
Into the starting of Dogwood.
Sure.
How did that come about?
I was really led in the mid-2000s, probably 2004, 2005, to think different about coffee. And it was through a number of trips that I took to origin where coffee is grown. It's generally in the equatorial region of the world and beautiful places like Costa Rica and Guatemala and Colombia and other beautiful parts of the world, but where there's a lot more, where there's a lot more abject poverty, like Central Africa. And made a couple trips to Rwanda in Central Africa. And was really made clear to me the chain. We call it a supply chain, but it's not. It's really an ecosystem of producers all the way to consumers. And there were aspects of that part of the equation that just weren't being represented properly in the consumer side. And I wanted to do more with, you know, the origin of coffee, where it came from, the producers who you know, labored to grow this coffee. And that just wasn't coming through in sort of benign descriptions of coffee on this end of the consumer chain, things like Fireside Blend. And that just doesn't speak to where the coffee came from. It doesn't speak to the producers who actually worked so hard to make it a reality. And and I found some, you know, there was a movement in the coffee industry in the early 2000s to really kind of lean into the origins of coffee, aspects of coffee, like what wine has done with terroir and soil and different types of wine grapes, and all these things exist in coffee. It was underleveraged. And
yes,
I didn't have a forum necessarily with the business that I had with Bull Run. And so I kind of worked on it for a few years to, because what we were doing with Bull Run was a lot of private label, a lot of blends and darker roasted coffees. And there were more attributes of coffee that I wanted to lean into. And I found a kindred spirit in my partner, Dan Anderson, who started working with me at Bull Run. And we kind of incubated this idea and realized that we had to do this. And so I chose to sell Bull Run in 2010, and then we started Dogwood. And interestingly, we kind of lab tested it at Rustica Bakery in 2009.
Sure. Yeah.
And we kind of opened the coffee portion of the bakery business and tested it. And we tested it on consumers, and we were doing single origin pour over coffees and all those sorts of things. And it really it hit really quickly, and that's kind of how Dogwood was born.
Got it. Yeah. And at first it's a wholesale coffee at that moment. Is that right?
Yeah. We opened a shop in Calhoun Square in 2010.
Uh-huh.
But then we started roasting right away, and then we were getting our coffee out. You know, we had some early small wholesale customers to start, and then we got our coffee into Whole Foods, and we've since expanded up into Canada, and then we have three shops now, and we're holding true to the integrity of the notion that we need to bring something special from what happens at origin with coffee to consumers. And it's not just Dogwood doing this. It's happening all around the world, and it's really cool to be part of. I call it the little corner of specialty coffee that really makes the whole ecosystem matter, and
yes,
and people are responding, and it's really cool to watch.
Absolutely. And we're going to bring Rustica Bakery now into
sure.
the picture, because when I'm at Rustica, you know, the coffee's, you know what country it's from every time you order it, right? And you can look on the package, you can find out about its background, et cetera, which is part of this direct link you're talking about.
Yes.
But so tell me how I know a few years later you actually purchased, I think is the right word, the Rustica Bakery brand. And so
yep.
tell me how that happened.
Well, this, again, it kind of goes back to Caribou. In the mid-90s when I was working there, I had a friend who was also managing a store, Steve Horton, who then I went off. I stayed in coffee, and Steve stepped off and got into baking. Found that his gifts really lay in producing artisanal French-style bread, and he created Rustica Bakery in 2004 in South Minneapolis. And I stayed in touch with him. We remained friends, and I had talked with him more and more about these ideas that I had and that I was learning about specialty coffee. And he said, "But you know, we've kind of outgrown our space in South Minneapolis." And so I called the person who I knew had the best intelligence about locations for retail coffee and food, and that was John Puckett. And he said the Punch store by Calhoun has a vacancy next door. You should go there. And so I helped Steve move in there in 2009. And then my wife, Trish, and I became partners with Steve at that time and sort of remained in the background, helped him do some coffee stuff. And then in 2015, his desire was really to expand and get into milling flour. So sourcing grains from Minnesota, but really this region, and do something that hasn't been done here since the early 1900s, and that is in Minneapolis, in the mill city, to actually mill flour once again. And he's done that, and he operates this wonderful milling operation called Bakersfield Flour and Bread. But in order to do that, he had to step out of Rustica. It had grown considerably. We've got 60 employees, and he approached me in early 2015 and said, "This is my plan." And I said, "Well, good Lord, Rustica can't go in anyone else's hands." So I talked to Trish about it. We prayed about it, and we acquired Rustica. And so since 2015, I've spent probably 90% of my time working on and trying to understand the business of an artisan bakery. And of course, Dogwood Coffee is well represented at Rustica, and we sell quite a bit of Dogwood Coffee through there. Balanced having, you know, a partner at Dogwood Coffee, and I have a couple of partners at Rustica helping me out too, and trying to figure out how to scale and grow Rustica Bakery.
You bet. That's great. We'll get back to what's happened with that in just a minute here. But I just want to say in passing that Rustica, you've heard on the cast before, is that Rustica is where I wrote my book, Reaching Millennials. And good news is I'm just about to write Flatwork, which Justin and I have talked about. It's business and work in an interconnected world, of course, which is the whole point of this program. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear more about this journey in Rustica Bakery and how interconnectivity has been part of Greg's journey. We'll be right back. Justin and I wanted to take time personally to thank you for listening to our programs and podcasts. We can make a greater impact if we have time with you to be of service to your organization directly. We just want to talk about a few areas that we're currently working in that we can be of service in. Justin, why don't you launch out?
Dave, I see a couple of things. One is siloed organizations, where that structure really prevents them from sensing and collaborating as well as they could. And the other is asset-centered design instead of human-centered design, which leads to a loss of relevance with customers.
Yeah, and I see competitive pressure increasing on many organizations where they're losing clients, they're not getting sales that they should. Also, I'm seeing in growth companies that they don't know the predictable stages they go through, and so all of a sudden they're growing and they stop.
Whatever may be facing you and your organization, Dave and I would love to roll up our sleeves and help you navigate this volatile and complex world. You may simply reach out to us at davidstarcollective.com and click on the Contact Us page. Now back to the show. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, and today's guest, Greg Hoyt, the CEO of Dogwood Coffee and Rustica Bakery. Just a quick reminder that you can join the conversation anytime at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective and download our podcast on iTunes. And as we always say, Dave, just give us good reviews. Keep the bad ones to yourself.
That's right. Please.
So, Greg, in the first half of the show, we talked about a bunch of topics, but we kind of talked, one of the things that intrigued me was around how in kind of the exploration of dogwood and what that can be, used Rustica a little bit as a petri dish to kind of test that value proposition and that product. And I'm kind of curious as an entrepreneur, I mean, one of the things that Dave and I talk about is one of the themes is, you know, as the world begins to move so fast and business moves fast, that there's an impetus placed on testing and learning and kind of learning your way into growth opportunities. Is that something that you see has been important to you in the business that you've been able to grow? And if so, maybe how is that working in your business today?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been a, it, I have learned to temper what has been a tendency of mine to view entrepreneurism as ready, fire, aim, and to already get to the end of the book when the first chapter has even been written. And I have learned that how vital it is to start at chapter one and really work through and test things. And the example of Dogwood's birth through the experience at Rustica Bakery is a great one, because we had an idea of where we wanted this to go, and we started by experimenting. And to be fair, we did have, you know, a certain expertise, and we were actually providing to customers something that we knew had value, but we weren't quite sure how it would, how people would respond. And there was some trial and error, but we learned early on, and I think that in a method like that where you're testing something, I have found that it's important to respond to what's working properly, and to respond to what's not working quickly without bias, and just move on, as opposed to holding on to some notion that you might have that's not true. And so for that, for every one of those opportunities, like Dogwood, kind of growing out of our experience at Rustica Bakery, I'll bet I've got 2,000 of experiences that, you know, just didn't go right.
Sure.
But that's one that did go right, and I think that's a really good approach.
Yeah. One of the things that, again, we talk about change a lot on this show, and I'm kind of curious to see how you've seen, you know, how's the landscape changed for you? How have you witnessed that over the last decade or so? How do you see the business landscape changing as it relates to, you know, certainly Rustica and Dogwood, but maybe just in general?
I have found in our world, which is can be categorized as food, largely in the Twin Cities, but in the region, as getting more and more focused on local and the story and origin and authenticity. And that is a change that for me and for who I am is really welcome, because I really value the notion of work and digging deep and finding nuggets and being able to share them and really working to expertly present them in such a way that all the things that we seem to be moving towards actually are rewarded, which is to say that, the work of producing one of the baguettes that we do at Rustica is a 2-day process. It's very hands-on. It requires technique. It requires tons of patience. And the fact that what seems to have changed here in the last 10 or so years is that product that we have, this baguette, is more appreciated now than it probably was 10 years ago. And it's not because we're necessarily using local ingredients and we're not using buzzwords that say that we're authentic, but it truly is authentic. And today, I think more than ever, people in this part of the world are really craving true authenticity in what they put in their body.
And it almost sounds like there's a craftsmanship kind of angle there too. Like people are appreciating the craft behind the scenes too. Like 2 days to make a baguette isn't something you hear often.
Yeah. And I think that the craft in and of itself is pretty meaningless, but if it results in something that's really special and transcendent, and it sounds kind of lofty to be referring to a loaf of bread as transcendent, but if it can take you back to what your romantic notion of Paris, or if it can take you back to a trip you've had in Paris, then it's transcendent. And the approach to actually make that happen is quite labor intensive, and it's intense. And that seems to be something that people are craving today.
Mm-hmm. I think, at least in my research on millennials, this is just playing right up their alley, Greg. I mean, first of all, there's a whole many foodies and the foodies want to go back to ingredients that they have some sense of what's going on with them. And I've noticed over your whole life that authenticity is already something I would say is a high value of you, and you live it well. And also there's a window at Rustica. So you can look in and watch it happen.
You can see the production. Yeah.
For me, that's a part of the ambiance of,
midnight,
watch if you want to.
Yeah. Midnight every day, 7 days a week is when the shift starts. And, people love that.
You bet. So let's go a little farther in this and let's talk about connectivity and interconnectivity as it has been important in your evolving as a leader and in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a literal sense, the path that I've been led into, the path of coffee and the path of bakery, is by its nature very connected. You're talking about a final product whose beginnings literally are from the earth, and there's a connection from there all the way to the time that someone actually consumes it. With these industries, it's all, there are a lot of people who are part of this whole episode, if you will, and from the producer, the grower of whether it's coffee or it's wheat or some sort of grain to, how it's processed and then presented to us who actually finalizes it. It's all about people and it's about process in how it actually goes from being a raw product or a good into a finished product and something that you can actually consume and enjoy. So the connectedness to me is all about people. It's a very labor intensive approach and world that I live in, and it seems to suit me well.
Yes, and I can see it because I'm in there so often. Is all the relationships, and there's many, many young people behind the counter.
Yeah.
It's not old people too, but I mean, there's many, many people and the highly relational part of the experience at Rustica. So it's not only what you just said, but it's also, wow, I sit down there and there's lots of people there's a lot of community happening.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. So at the Rustica Bakery Shop we have by Calhoun and the one in Eden Prairie, it's very community and, a lot of people are doing a lot of different things there, and I think it's wonderful. And the Dogwood shops have that kind of vibe and energy too. And we're not the only ones. There's that's happening a lot around the country right now.
You bet. Yep. And I've been to Europe, and when Caribou went there originally, or I guess Starbucks did, but I saw how much that culture was around that kind of community and coffee type shops. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's go how does your faith impact this, or your mission or your values, Greg? How does that work?
I love the parable of the talents and the notion that the master gave the servants different, at least in the book of Matthew, different amounts of talents. So we've all got constraints, right? And in many ways, I feel as though I'm somebody who's been given something. I've not been given enough that I can't work, but it's important to me to take what I've been given and to be a steward of it. And I really appreciate, especially in Matthew, where the notion of, well done, good and faithful servant shows up as a result of the servant who takes a risk.
You bet.
Time and time again, I've fallen on my face and it's been challenging, but the net result for me is I think that parable especially speaks to me because I feel like I'm the servant who is continuing to try and be a steward of what I've been given and produce and make the master pleased.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So let me just ask one more thing. So I know you're expanding.
Yeah.
How would people get a hold of you or the places that you're in?
My email is Greg, G-R-E-G, @rusticabakery.com. We have a website, rusticabakery.com. We have a website for Dogwood, dogwoodcoffee.com. So email is probably best. I'm pretty good at that. I'm in the Rustica shop by Calhoun quite often. I'm in the Eden Prairie one at least once, twice a week. But email would be best.
That sounds great, Greg. I really appreciate you sharing your story.
My pleasure.
On the show today. We're going to continue next week. We've got some great people coming up here. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Rohr and with Greg Hoyt today. We hope you'll tune in to all of our podcasts. Once again, that's davidstarkcollective.com. On Twitter, it's at Stark Collective. Or you can get us on iTunes at Working with Purpose. Justin and I right now are in conversation about a fall series that we're going to be actually talking a little bit about next week. And we hope you'll stay with us because we've got some great things, especially now that the book is actually going to be happening through this process and be writing this year, which we'll get to talk a lot about. So for David Stark, Justin Rohr, and for Greg Hoyt today, thank you for being with us.